Thank you very much. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. It's been said that the most powerful thing in the world, not just my voice this morning, but the most powerful thing in the world is the tongue, the human tongue. And I wonder what words have been spoken that you have heard in your life that have shaped your life. If the tongue is the most powerful thing, then what words have shaped your life? In 1940, Winston Churchill delivered three destiny-defining speeches in the course of a five-week period. And it was in the context of quite a lot of political pressure and opposition. There was a lot of pressure on him to sign some sort of peace treaty with Nazi Germany, with Hitler. And the sense was that Britain didn't have a chance. And therefore, the pressure that came upon the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, was basically to yield in some way and to sign some sort of peace treaty, handing over a lot of authority over Britain to Nazi Germany. And there was a lot of wrestling went on in the country and in British politics at that time. And there's a film called Darkest Hour. And the film culminates, the climax of the film is the second speech of Winston Churchill in that five-week period in 1940. And it has that famous line, "We will fight them on the beaches." And at the very end of the film, the House of Commons are on their feet doing what was the way you showed your support for what the speaker was saying by waving your paper in the air. They were on their feet at the end of this speech by Winston Churchill. Well, most of them were on their feet. There were a few people who were disgusted with what Churchill said. They thought it was totally the wrong decision. And the film ends with one bewildered member of the House who hasn't stood up, turning to his friend and saying, "What just happened?" And his friend beside him in disgust says, "He mobilized the English language and he sent it into battle." What the film is saying is all encapsulated in that last line. And what the film is saying is something which actually reflects Winston Churchill's own memoirs, when he asserted that what led to the Allied forces gaining victory in the Second World War was the power of the English language. That Winston Churchill wielded that day, and others wielded. Words are powerful. And none more so than the living word, Jesus Christ. And over these weeks, we've been looking at the living word, the power of the living word, how the living word gives life. He isn't just alive, he gives life. And you and I are here today because we have encountered the living word, Jesus Christ. And we have been forgiven. We've been made new, and we've been anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus came. That's why we celebrate the day of Pentecost. It is the outworking of why Jesus, the living Word, God in the flesh, came so that we, the flesh, could be those who receive the living Word to live in our lives and to bring life where there once was death. And that's why Jesus Christ came. We are Christian. It was a name that was first given to the church at Antioch. Christ means Messiah. Christ is the Greek word, Messiah, the Hebrew word, which means anointed one. So as Christians, those who were called Christians first at Antioch by those around them, and it may have been a slightly derogatory term by those who were around the church in Antioch, what they were saying was, these people are the anointed ones. They are the ones who have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. So that's what the term Christian means. Those who are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Old Testament, there were three types of people who were anointed by the Holy Spirit, who were anointed with oil for service, symbolizing the work of the Holy Spirit: prophets, priests, and kings. So when we read the Old Testament, most of the focus is on prophets, priests, and kings. Some of the books are just, it's all about the kings. Some of the books of the Old Testament are all about the prophets. Some of the books are all about the tabernacle, the temple. Ultimately, it's all about prophets, priests, and kings. They were the three types of people who were anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so when the people of Israel, in their extremis, in their difficulties, were crying out, "Lord, help us," they were expecting that God would send either a prophet or a priest or a king, because that's the way the Lord delivered his people again and again. First of all, through the judges, and then through the kings who came after the judges, and through the prophets and the priests who were mediators between heaven and earth, through whom forgiveness of sin came and worship was offered up to the Lord. Well, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all three types of people. He is the prophet. He is the great high priest. And he is the King of kings. Now, during Jesus' lifetime, it wasn't often that people said, "There's King Jesus." Nor did they say, "There's the high priest." But they did call him again and again and again a prophet. And the reason is because in the Old Testament, the prophets were those who declared the word of the Lord and who performed miracles. So it's no wonder that they said, "There's a prophet. He speaks the word of the Lord and he performs miracles." And so when Jesus raised the widow's son from dead in the town of Nain, the crowds responded, "A mighty prophet has arisen among us." After feeding the 5,000, the people declared, "Surely he is the prophet that we've been expecting." When Peter preached in the temple following the healing of the crippled beggar that we can read about in Acts chapter 3, he identified Jesus as the prophet foretold by Moses. Moses said, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. It's no wonder the people who were under the occupation of superpower after superpower, including the Roman Empire, were saying, Lord, send us this prophet. Because Moses said, there's going to be a prophet. He's going to come. He is the prophet. And listen to everything that he tells you. And Jesus himself openly adopted the title of prophet. No prophet, he said in his hometown of Nazareth, is accepted in his own hometown. And this was just after he'd stood up in the synagogue, unrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and read, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free. The time of the Lord's favor has come." Jesus described his ministry and mission as prophetic. So when people called him a prophet, he didn't correct them because he knew he was the prophet, the priest, the king. He was the one who had come to deliver them. As Jesus continued to speak in the Nazareth synagogue, it tells us in Luke chapter 4, everyone spoke well of him and was amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Imagine if on a regular basis people were amazed at the gracious words that came from our lips. Paul, the apostle, tells us that prophecy for the church, prophecy in the church by us as Christians, is about strengthening, encouraging, and comforting other people. So what does it look like for us to be like Jesus as those anointed by the Spirit to speak prophetically to other people? I think it's when we say things like this, "Do not be afraid, because the Lord is with you in this trial." I think it sounds like when we say, "I will pray for you to be healed." Or, "Your Heavenly Father deeply cares for you." Or it might be a word of encouragement. "Keep going, because in God's strength you can do this." Or, "Trust Jesus. You are forgiven through his sacrifice. Don't be discouraged by your own sinfulness. Just ask for forgiveness. You are forgiven. Get yourself back on your feet and keep going." That is prophetic speaking. Or to say, perhaps to someone who is facing death, "The best is yet to come. We will rise again." That is what it sounds like to speak prophetically. Because it's praising God and it's encouraging people. And that's what the New Testament says prophecy is. It's praising God and encouraging people. It's about expressing faith and pointing towards Jesus Christ. So when we find ourselves in situations, which we will many times every day, it's about saying to our Heavenly Father, Father, what do you want me to say to this person? Give me the right words to say. So tomorrow in your workplace or family or situation or in Aurora, wherever it happens to be, and someone says to you, I've just been diagnosed with something very severe. Say, Lord, give me the words to say. Or someone going through a really difficult time, or someone who's full of questions or confusion, someone who needs a word of kindness or encouragement or hope. And we will meet people like this every day, I imagine. And in those situations, we who are anointed by the Holy Spirit, who have the Word of God within us, and the Holy Spirit has been given to us to bring the Word of God out of us. We have been made alive by the Word of God in us, and the Spirit anoints us so the Word of God can come out of us at appropriate times and in appropriate places. Which is why Paul says in the New Testament, brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. In other words, speak life into places of death. Speak encouragement where there's no hope. Quite often we overcomplicate, what is this prophecy stuff? Prophecy is any way where you speak praise to God and speak encouragement to other people about Jesus. It includes preaching. It includes speaking in tongues. It includes encouraging other people, which is why when Paul says the great gifts that the Holy Spirit has given the church to build it up, first of all, there are apostles, then prophets. So Paul says to the church, be eager to prophesy. Because prophecy builds a church up and it proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants the church to make a noise. I love the fact this morning, despite it was pretty difficult maybe for Kerry, but I love the fact there was just a cacophony of noise. Well, boy, the day of Pentecost was a lot more noisy. There was, in Northern Irish parlance, a choir racket. It wasn't a British, Irish, Northern Irish, civilized gathering like this. First of all, they were the disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit. So much so, they were staggering around, praising God. People thought they were drunk. They were so euphoric with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were making such noise, shouting in languages they had never heard, the praises of God and the wonderful things he'd done in Jesus Christ. Boy, it was noisy. So much noise, in fact, that people from around the city came to see what all the noise was about. And then people started to mock. They're just drunk. And what does Peter do? He gets up and he shouts above them all. And he says, this is not by alcohol. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the prophet Joel spoke about this long ago. About young men seeing visions, old men dreaming dreams, men and women, young and old, and the Spirit of God coming upon them. This is why Jesus came. And what does he say the result is when the Holy Spirit comes? They will prophesy. What's the surest sign of the Holy Spirit being active in our lives? We prophesy. We say, God is great. Jesus Christ is the Lord. We say the best is yet to come. We will rise again. You can be forgiven. There's a fresh start. We are meant to make a noise as church. And the world is desperate for us to make a noise. But let's not overcomplicate it. It's about encouraging people. It's about speaking kind words and words of hope and saying, God is with you. I will pray for you. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There's a new start available. There is a new heaven and a new earth coming, and let's pray for it to come in this situation. It's prophecy. It's speaking about Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Jesus pointed out that the words that come out of our mouths reflect what's in our hearts. So let me ask you a few questions. What impact are your words having on those around you? And what does that indicate about your heart? Are you talking to people about how good the Lord has been to you? Now, when I ask you those questions, I imagine, like me, you feel quite convicted. But I want to encourage you this morning, because Jesus Christ came to rescue us from our damaging words and our damaging ways. That's why he came. And so there's forgiveness. There's a fresh start. We can say, Lord, from here on in, I want my words to be so full of grace that people will say, my goodness, did you hear the gracious words that came from that person's lips? To do that, we want the Lord to come afresh and move in our hearts and fill us with joy and peace. Because ultimately, the only way this will happen is if we are truly grateful for everything Jesus Christ has done for us. That's where all this comes from. If we want our words to be full of grace, we need our heart to be filled with grace. We need to be thankful. So let's, on this Pentecost Sunday, let's ask the Lord by his Holy Spirit to enliven the Word of God that has been placed in us. The Word that gives life. The Word that results in, when we're speaking to a family member, a husband, a wife, a friend, a child, a grandchild, a parent, a work colleague, that what comes out of our mouth is gracious and generous and encouraging and builds people up and comforts them in their difficulty. So I imagine that the words sometimes that have shaped us the most are words of kindness that someone has spoken to us. A kind word sometimes can sometimes shape an entire human life. And you and I have such power available to us. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read about Isaiah being called by the Lord. And he encounters in a vision the Holy One of Israel. And he thinks, I am finished. Because he becomes, in the moment of worship and glory and encountering the Lord, he realizes how deeply sinful he is. And particularly how sinful his words and speech are. Woe is me, he says. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord. And he thinks he's a goner. But the Lord speaks to him with tenderness and mercy. And in the vision, Isaiah sees an angel coming to him, and the Lord says to him, see this coal. This burning holiness of God has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. The Lord wants the church to make a noise. A noise that is full of grace and truth. That when people see us coming, they go, good, there's that person who speaks grace and truth. Now, when Jesus spoke in Nazareth and when Peter spoke in Pentecost, not everybody wants to hear prophecy. Not everybody receives truth well. Sometimes you can end up in prison. And not just in other countries, but in Northern Ireland. But we, like Isaiah, like the early disciples, we've been given the most powerful thing in the world, the living Word, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we have so experienced the grace of Christ that we cannot and dare not stay silent, because the Word that we have within us is the hope of the world. And his name is Jesus Christ. So let's make some noise. Let's not be timid or afraid. Let's speak words of kindness. Let's speak words of encouragement, of comforting, and giving hope in the places where people feel deeply hopeless. And all for the glory of Jesus Christ. And so, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord, because you are our strength and our Redeemer. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would heal the wounds of the words that have been spoken to us that have caused destruction. Heal them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that you would heal others from the words that we have spoken. And Lord, fill our mouths and our tongues and our hearts with your grace, that we may be very careful what we say and not be afraid to speak and be inspired and anointed by your Holy Spirit, that we may declare to the world the wonders of our God, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a song, Speak Jesus.